Today on Ask the Podcast Coach, we're going to try to explain Libsyn and Blueberry. We're going to talk about the proper input to use for your podcast and a little bit about chat.
Let's get ready to podcast.
All right. Hey, we're definitely awake now. Welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach. That would be me, Dave Jackson. And right over there is Jim Collison from theaverageguy.tv. And if you're new to the show, this is where we answer your podcast questions. You can call in live. Honest, you can. I'm not lying. You don't believe me? Try it. It's 888-563-3228. And we will talk whatever you want to talk about today. But we do this every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can find us over at schoolofpodcasting.com/live. Jim, how you doing this morning, buddy?
Dave, I'm doing very well. I did double check, and we are live without any problems. Nice job.
It's a hurt. And we are actually on Spreaker this morning. So to all my Spreaker friends, hello. And we're also using the Mixler system. And that reminds me, I need to go out to my Mixler page so I can... you know,
should we agree though that we're going to stay in
schoolofpodcasting.com?
No, we're going to stay in Mixler chat.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's agree to that.
Yeah. The only reason I'm doing anything on Spreaker at this point is a lot of people are used to find the show because Spreaker would tweet it and blah, blah, blah. The interesting thing is when I go to my life profile in Spreaker, does that take me right out to, yes, it does. There we go. And I'm right out there now. And John Parker's already here, which is cool. And I will throw myself onto the what would this be? I'm going to fall on my own sword today and explain what a couple weeks ago I said how I could not get Spreaker to work, and I think I found out the problem was I switched to Google Chrome, and today I was like, you know, I want to double check this. It seems really weird that, you know, Spreaker's just not, it wouldn't even recognize my when I just plugged in the ATR2100 microphone, I just could not get it to recognize anything. And I was like, that's just really, really weird. And normally when you log into the Spreaker console, it says, because it uses Flash, that, hey, Flash needs to recognize, I want to borrow your microphone and your camera. And you say, yes. And that's usually all you have to do. And the lights start blinking and you hit record and off you go. Well, it turns out if you're using Chrome, and I would love to know the developer that designed this, in the upper left-hand corner, on a light gray background with dark gray text, it says Spreaker would like to, you know, reach your microphone and camera. Do you want to allow it? And I went, well, that's really weird. I've never seen that before. So it was almost like email where you have to double opt in to get, if you're using Chrome, to use Spreaker. So I said, sure. And there it was. And all was well in the world. And then I was really worried. I'm like, well, let's see if it works on Mixler still, and it does. So yeah, we're big fans of Mixler. In fact, I am now a Mixler premium user, and mainly because, number one, anytime I get a service that I really like and it seems to be helping me, I'm like, you know, I want the system to stay around. And the other thing is last week's show, which was you know, we had the whole issue, we'll talk about this in a second, with the distortion, was I wanted to download that because the version I had locally wasn't that great. And I was like, okay, let's see what the Mixler version was. Well, the only way you can download a Mixler show is via the, if you're a premium user. And I'm like, you know what? $10 a month is not going to kill me. And so I am now an official Mixler premium user. So I'm not sure what that means on their website. There is that one whole button, the stage thing, that I still haven't quite figured out what that is. But that's what's going on with me. Jim, what's going on with you, buddy?
Oh, man. It's been a super, super busy week. We had an explosion of activity. It helps when you send out like a million emails.
Yeah.
You know, I do some enterprise podcasting through Gallup. And so, yeah, emails matter. We send a couple million emails out this week. And man, we just got some results that were just absolutely insane. And so we saw, you know, the blogger site that we use for our coaches. Normally, you know, we get about 20,000 hits a month to that thing. We had 4,000 hits that day.
Wow.
The day that email went out. And then it was like a bounce effect, which I hadn't really thought about. What is the, when you do email marketing, right? So, or when you send emails to your listeners, let's put it that. I know some of the listeners have email contact lists. You've got newsletters. you know, what's the bounce effect? And so that first day there was a, you know, a big bounce. And then day number two, like about half of that. So we did about 2,000 the next day. And then Wednesday and Thursday were still great days for us from that, you know, from a numbers standpoint. And so that stuff connecting, you know, I always say email's dead, but man, connecting with your audience via email. I've heard you talk about this in the past. I might be a new believer in the idea of email newsletters and making sure you have their email, because I kind of thought it was dead. I'll be honest.
Yeah, I'm with you. I know Black Friday, you know, I open up my inbox and it's just everybody's throwing a sale. And it was the thing that's really starting to drive me nuts is somebody will give away something for free. So I'll go over and I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. Here's my email. And I get your little marketing plan or podcast, blah, blah, blah. And then they'll give away something else. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, the first thing I got wasn't horrible. So I'll sign up again. And now, like when something big happens in their world, they send it out to all their lists. And it turns out they have separate lists for every little product. And I get the same email like 3-4 times. And I'm like, ugh. So I've just been trying to go through and unsubscribe. And, mm-hmm. you know, so I get where email is kind of a...
Yeah, it's kind of messy, isn't it?
It is. And it's hard to break through. But on the other hand, if you can get somebody to open it, you know, they've now gone through the hassle of opening it. So,
yeah. Well, and I think there's some engagement consideration there as well. I mean, if they're engaged with you, I think that, you know, you've got a good chance of them looking at it. I know when I clear out my inbox, I go, you know, click, 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 and I'm scanning down right as I go and literally just click, 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 deleting things, right? And then I might see something that catches my eye. And if I see Dave Jackson, stop, you yeah. know, okay, and I delete everything and then I read that email. But yeah, it was pretty amazing. We've had a pretty amazing week. And then about 400 joined us live on Friday for our Call to Coach podcast over at coaching.gallup.com.
Wow.
And that just still amazes me. I'll be honest. I don't, you know, I'm a 30 live guy. And I want to talk later in the show. I want to talk about doing a live podcast because that came up in the podcasters group on Google Plus.
Oh, cool.
And I've got some strong feelings about that. But, and I know you do too. So we should have a good conversation around it. But it's pretty incredible to sit there and watch a chat room. You know, we use live stream chat and we'll talk about a chat wing here maybe a little bit later in the podcast as well, as maybe an alternative, but we use live stream chat because it's super easy. I mean, I don't think live stream realizes what a good chat room they have. You know, you don't need an account to log in. Mm-hmm. You can change colors on your handles. You can create any handle you want. You can moderate it, block, ban users. I mean, it's a really great chat module. So if you're struggling for a chat room, and they give you all the embed code, it works super easy. I don't think they realize how good it is. And it's all free, which is very, very cool. But to sit in the, you know, my job is to open the show and I turn it over to the host. You know, I'm like the Ed McMahon of coaching podcast. Yeah, exactly. I laugh at Jeremy's jokes and those kinds of things. And then I moderate the chat room and pull questions in that we're getting from the listeners. And it's pretty amazing to see that chat room with 150 in it just rock, you know, just streams through. And sometimes it's hard to keep up with it. So a lot of fun there and very cool thing to be able to do as a podcaster.
Absolutely. Well, let's go ahead and talk about, you want to talk about Chatwing first?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I don't have any experience with it, but I got an email this week from those guys saying, hey, we'd like you to consider Chatwing. And like I just said, we are really, I'm really liking Livestream. And I kind of had to ask them, you know, I got a direct email from them that said, hey, we looked at your show. We see you're using chat. Would you consider using Chatwing? When it wasn't worded like that. But and so, Dave, I know you use it. My big question was, I want my users to be able to use it without logging into anything. And I know it does that.
I put a link in the chat room to chatwing.com/podcastcoach. In fact, let me click on that. Can you log in? See, because it's going to know I'm logged in because I'm logged in my Chatwing account.
I verified. You can in the chat room, you can create a guest account where you just log in with a handle. But they also have integration with like Facebook and Twitter and, you know, Pinterest and where you can Google Plus. You can use those accounts to log in as well if you mm-hmm. want to. And because I, you know, some of the, especially with the coaching podcast that I do, those users are not tech savvy. I'm not talking to a tech audience. You know, we are, Dave. The podcasters that we're going to talk to here, they're fairly techy and they'll get it. But if the barrier to entry is, if it's difficult for these guys, they just won't chat. And I want them to come into the chat room. You know, I want them there to interact with each other. So I want that barrier to entry to be very low.
Well, that's I had tried a system called Rumble Talk, and it's actually pretty cool. And but it was, if I wanted to capture what people were talking about, it was $32 a month. And so I did it for a month. And really, the School of Podcasting, if I had maybe, you know, 1,000 people on the site every day, it might have got some heat. But really, I could go in and see where Tina logged in and said, anybody here? Anybody? And then, you know, an hour later, John logged in and said, anybody here? You know, so it was basically just everybody going, anybody here? No, Dave, are you? No. Okay. So I was like, all right, well, that's not worth $32 a month. So I had been using Chatwing, and the minute I had, I was a premium user of theirs where I could add my logo and things like that. And the minute I turned off my premium stuff, boy, they were on the horn saying, hey, did we do something wrong? What's, you know, so their customer service was right on top of me saying, you know, did we do something wrong? How could we improve the service? Yada, yada, yada. And I was like, no, I'm starting to use this other system. I think it's, you know, it looks interesting. And they kind of politely said, you know, we kind of do everything they do. Like I can see what people are chatting about, and the mm-hmm. fact that the chat is not on, technically it's not on my site, it's on their site. So if I'm even worried about bandwidth, you know, they're taking it all. The one thing I didn't like about it, and from what I hear, there are great things coming in the future. They didn't say what they were, but they said, this is, I said, here's what I don't like about it. You have to go in and you buy tokens. So I buy whatever, 10 tokens for however much it is. And then if I want to have my logo on it, it's like a token a month, which is like, it turns out to be like a buck.
And like Microsoft then, points.
Yeah.
The old Microsoft points and then, that you could never figure out.
Right. And then if I want to have like a sub headline, it's like a whatever. And if I want to do this, so you can customize what you do and do not want. So you're not paying for things that you don't want. Like right now on the chat I put out there right now, everything you see there is pretty much free. I think I paid for one thing. I forget what it was.
Where's the chat, Dave? Where's the chat room at?
About? It's chatwing.com/podcastcoach, which I hate to direct. We've already got our chat window going on over there.
We're not going to go there. So don't go there and start chatting.
Yeah. So, yeah. But if you just want to see what it looks like, it's just a basic, I could pick the colors and, you know, that was it. And there's, I think I have it set up to where you can like it and tweet it and Google Plus it and Tumblr it and things like that. So it's just a chat. Cause I thought, well, if I ever use this, it will be to embed it into a website. But right now I'm really happy with Mixler's chat. I don't have a problem with it at all. And again, if I want to see what people are saying, it pretty much saves the ability there, and they have a tweet and Facebook post there in the Mixler chat. So it is free. That's the bonus of it. And if you do want to use it, and there's all sorts of moderator things you can do and other options. And there are actually a fair amount of, if I want to customize the chat box here, I'll go in. I can change every color. I can change the background image, which to me, a background image in a chat box is somewhat, I don't get it, because you're trying to read things and you've got this noisy background. I'm like, well, I don't even understand that. Now, the one thing that I did, and here again, they seem very responsive, is in my case, the School of Podcasting, it really couldn't handle enough, doesn't bring enough traffic to warrant really its own chat. So they have this thing called networks. And so I set up a podcasting network. So if there was somebody else that wanted to put Chatwing on their website, they could join my podcasting network, and that way you kind of, you know, you're sharing each other's audience, because mm-hmm. there's nothing worse than having somebody go there and go, wow, it's a ghost town,
right?
And there's nobody here. So that would be a way to get people in there. You can turn on and off if you want people to be able to play audio in your
Let me ask you the question on that, because this is what does that mean, play audio in the chat room? Because that I'm intrigued by that.
What it is I could put a URL. Let me see if I can grab one from the School of Podcasting. I could actually go out and, you know, grab a URL to something. And
let me tell you why, so that we zero in on this, why it intrigues me. So we used to, with Home Tech, we used to, before the show, we had pre-show music. So the hour before the show would start, because again, we're everything live. So 8 p.m. Central. We get started at 7 p.m. I would go out, and I used the time I was using live stream for the video as well. And I would pipe music through, you know, I just put up a blank screen or whatever. On the live stream allows you to kind of put up a black, hey, we'll be right back kind of screen, you know, on the video. And then I would run Pandora, you know, I'd get a rock channel or whatever. And I just ran Pandora for the first hour between 7 and 8 and allow. And it was a great way to kind of juice up the listeners. You know, you get them in there. You know, we've talked about this, using music on, that's why we have bumper music on the beginning of the podcast. It gets folks kind of, hey, this is kind of cool, right? It's something to do. They knew if they logged in early, they could have music to listen to. And some of them even counted on it. It was like, oh, there's no pre-show music this week. I was going to work on something while I was waiting for the podcast and listen to the music, right? They like the music selection that I throw out there. Well, that's really illegal.
Yeah.
You know, you can't broadcast, or you're not supposed to broadcast just right out through live stream. We didn't record it. We didn't make money off it, blah, blah, blah. But it's still illegal. We've talked about that before, too. So I was looking for, you know, so I've been looking for another solution. And I don't know if we talked about that here or not, but I've moved over to GrooveShark to get this done.
Interesting.
That idea. So, you know, let me hold that thought for a second. But when I saw this chat room and they said you can stream audio, I thought, are there legal ramifications? I mean, is it as much as I could put a Pandora stream running out through the through this chat room and then shut it off when the show starts? Is it that powerful?
Yeah, it's weird because I added just an MP3 to this, and I'm looking at, I don't see where it shows up. Oh, there's a little music button at the bottom of the chat, way down the bottom right hand corner. So if I click on that, oh, it would actually play. I get it. Okay. Now, can I put a streaming channel in that? Let me go over to schoolofpodcasting.fm and get something to scream.
And so it, yeah, that was the...
It puts a little music note in the bottom right-hand corner of the chat window.
Right hand. And is that just for you, or is it...
I don't think it's just for me. It's in the bot down by manage.
Okay, down. See, I think that is just for you. I think you're seeing
a special...
Because it's your chat room. I think you're seeing a management console down there.
That would stink. Let me go over. Yeah, that's, I guess, if I log out.
Yeah, so the chat room's also saying they don't see a manage button. So it must be for you. And my thinking is, if you could get it rolling, you know, you still have the same, I would think you would still have the same legal problem.
Yeah.
Of pushing out music through the chat. I was intrigued by it. You know, and I thought, oh, hey, maybe now. Nah. So the way we get around it with GrooveShark is I just created, if you've, you know, GrooveShark is like Xbox Music, is like any of that. Well, that's not true either, because Xbox Music doesn't stream. But there's a couple radio-like sites out there where you create an account and then you create a broadcast channel. And you can then pick the music, play it, and it broadcasts out, and then people can come and listen to it. And GrooveShark is one of those. One of those like accounts, really, really cool. No commercials, which is what's really cool about it. And they have a feature where the audience can come in. They have a chat room as well that's there. And they have a feature where the audience can help you pick the music, or they'll pick it and then you choose it, right? If you want to select it or not, you can, and you can even queue it up. It's like it's a pretty cool little DJ console as well. You can listen to the music before you approve it, right? So you click on it, a box comes up, it cuts out the stream music that you're listening to, and it will play whatever that person has, you know, has suggested, so you can get an idea of what they've selected before you put it up there. And so I'm kind of DJing some music and it's funny because Lopta, one of our listeners, is out there this morning. He's in the other chat, and he always picks this song, and I'll never play it. So, you know, he's always picking it no matter how many times he puts, I have played it once, but he picks it every time and I don't play it every time. But it does, Dave, kind of create this other level of engagement with your listeners. And it's fun for me. I like it. You know, it's while I'm setting up the show and I'm, you know, getting the Google Plus Hangout, the on air going, and I'm copying links, you know, all that stuff you got to do before you go live, right?
Right.
You know the deal. I've got the music going and I'm interacting with the chat room that way. And so that's been a fun experiment to do, and perfectly legal.
That's cool.
That's what I like about it. So it allows you to have some pre-show music going. Now, you do have to send them to another site. So it's not
right.
Not embedded. I would love it if they'd come up with a big embed box, you know, and I could just embed that on a page over at theaverageguy.tv. But it works out real, real well. And I think it's, and I'm pretty sure it's all legal.
I just logged in as a guest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's way, I mean, you can almost get, you see there's the chat button, chat box that says enter something. And way over on the right hand side, there's like an enter button. This little left pointing arrow right above it is this little musical note.
Oh, let me look. Oh, I see it now.
And okay. I was
in full screen. It's not in full screen. So if you open it in your web browser and you go full screen with it, it like disappears. But when I popped that box out, it appeared for me.
Right now, the interesting thing is I put in a streaming URL and it's not liking that. I think it needs an MP3.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And I think it would. Yeah, and I think it would. Right. Yeah. So you could... If you wanted everybody to listen to something in the chat room.
Right. Everybody here listen to, you know.
Yeah. Right. Dave, the other feature on there that I was interested in and looking at, and I guess, you know, Livestream still uses Flash for their chat.
Does not.
Yeah.
It's all you can.
So it would work mobile. Which
yes.
I guess my number one complaint is when I get people trying to. Watch the video or watch the, you know, on their tablet or whatever. We just got this with the Gallup podcast. I just got an email back from someone yesterday who said, hey, I can't watch YouTube at work because a lot of enterprises, not all of them, but a lot of enterprises just block it.
Right.
So that's another, you know, there's another hurdle now we're reaching so many people that way. One of my thoughts is, do I need to provide, and I don't even know where to go at this point. If I go back to like a live stream or a Justin TV, they won't let me do all the ads. That's the thing. And I'm not going to pay the extortion that they're asking for at Justin TV or live stream for their, you know, their streaming. I don't know if you've looked at that, but if you actually pay for live stream, I think it's like $400 a month.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not cheap. This isn't, you know, this isn't a Libsyn.
Right.
Cheap, right? This is like you're going to pay some bucks, and so I've got some things to think about with that because we do when YouTube is blocked, and you would think, nah, YouTube's the number one video streaming service in the world right. now, but all the government blocks it.
Yeah, it's blocked in a lot of places. When I go around, I always tell people that do anything with if they want to have like a YouTube video in their PowerPoint or something like that, it's like, yeah, realize wherever you're going, that may not be an option because we want to, you think it's going to be cool to play this video and look at it. It's so funny and it's going to really make my presentation. Like realize that, you know, probably I would say 7 out of 10, if not more.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Places block YouTube.
I have not gotten a lot of angry emails, and I have a pretty good size audience yet of, hey, we can't watch this at work. So our demographic must be a lot of independent folks at home or, you know, work in places, smaller businesses that don't do that. But I know it's going to become an issue as we move into bigger and bigger enterprise spaces. I'm going to have to think through that and how do we get, and you know what? That's tough no matter what, because enterprises, honestly, if they're blocking YouTube, they don't want you streaming anything, right? Mm. So they've probably gone out of their way to block just about everything. Well, we nearly took Gallup's network down yesterday. And I'm not really, but in the sense that in the first 5 minutes of the show, I was getting internal pings from you know, employees that said, hey, your video's stuttering. You know, and it was just internal people, and it was, you know, the problem was is everybody, it's gotten popular internally as well, and everybody at work was trying to log in and watch, you know, the same stream across our network, and while YouTube compresses, it doesn't compress that much. So that was another drawback, is if you do these live shows and it gets popular behind the firewall, you know, you can take your own network down in the sense of everybody trying to hit it at the same time.
And that'll make you popular.
Yeah, from the network guys.
Like, yeah,
I rely on them for bandwidth going out. So I need that. Unfortunately, the show worked out fine. You can't even tell. But it does. Multicast. So it looks like, well, I think that's Loptus said, Jim, sounds like you need a streaming solution that supports multicast. I don't know what multicast is.
Yeah, somebody that, that's a good question.
But. Guest 119, change it to your name. I think that's Lopta. I think that's a guy from over one of my podcasts.
Yeah, I'm so confused. Which chat are we using?
Oh, yeah, we're out of, let's just drop out of chat wing.
Yes.
And let's drop into, yeah, it is Lopta. Let's drop back into Mixler chat, guys.
Yeah, that would be.
Let's do that. Well, I'll have to give it, I'll have to give Chatwing a serious look.
Yeah, it's free. And you have all the typical stuff. You can have moderators and you can have people log in. You know, you can add a logo. And what it amounted to is when I was talking to the guy, I said, look, I'd probably want to do this, this, that, and this. And he's like, okay, you're looking at like $4 a month. And I'm like, really? And I'm like, I'm sitting here complaining about $4 a month.
Yeah.
I said, just for the record, I said, I find that confusing that I've got to sit here and convert tokens to features. I'm like, how about you just tell me how much it is? You know, I said, I understand that it's, you know, this or that. So I'm not sure what their thinking was behind it. Maybe it's an international thing. I don't know. But there's like, yeah, okay, we hear that a lot. And they just said, yeah, please hang tight. There's a lot of great things coming. So they didn't say what they were. But I was like, well, if I can get out of spending $32 a month, and have it there for people that want to play, they can. You can even, because a lot of chats will time out after so much time of inactivity, you can actually turn that off. So if you just want to leave it open as a, you know, a chat all day, and if somebody comes in, it'll ding when somebody, you know, says something. So it's pretty cool. The only thing I didn't really, for me, there's something about the look of it that I just wasn't, you know,
now I don't like the little goofy
avatars.
Icons. Yeah, avatars. There we go. I don't like that at all.
Yeah, and almost everything is completely customizable. So it's just a matter of I was like, well, okay, we'll live with that.
So but maybe worth trying just for the whole mobile concept. You know, because like I said, even with my small live audience on the tech podcasts, you know, so we're talking 25 or 30 live is pretty consistent for me on, you know, weeknights to get it. And it's a good group. We have a really super engaged group and they love to chat. And it's really important that we have them. They're a part of the show. And about once a month, I get somebody who says, hey, I'm trying to get to the chat and live stream. And it says I can't because I'm on my
iPad.
Fill in the blank. Yeah. Fill in the blank. So it's one of those things I continue to try and be sensitive to that. And maybe if we have some time, as we talk about live, I think the chat rooms are a really important part of live podcasting.
Yeah. Shori has a great question. If you had Mixler embedded in a website and the website can work on mobile devices, will Mixler still work? As far as that's a great question. I need to, if I wasn't using my phone to play music, I would jump on my phone and go to schoolpodcasting.com/live. Well,
here, I'll do that.
All right.
I'm on Android.
Cool. And while Jim is doing that, I'm going to remind you, if you want to call in, you can call in. It's toll free, 888-563-3228. And there is a Mixler app as well. And I think there's one for the iPhone. And also, I wanted to, because it is Ask the Podcast Coach, I thought we would actually answer a question. And it's one of the things that's more confusing about podcasting is we always recommend most podcast people are using either Libsyn, which is libsyn.com. And you can get, I should say, you can get a free month at Libsyn by using the coupon code Podcast Coach. It's 888-563-3228. Let me put that in the chat room, Dave. That would make even more sense. And the fun thing about Blueberry and Libsyn is they don't limit the amount of information you can store. So I was talking with somebody this morning, and I forgot the 8, by the way, on that in the chat room. It's 888.
I'll fix it. Thank you.
And he was using a thing called Pod. You can ask any question you want, except, you know, I'm not going to talk about my sex life. Podcast questions.
Podcast related, yes. Yeah.
And he was using a thing called, I think it was called Pod Hoster. And they only gave you X amount of space, period. And once you ran out of space, that's all the episodes you could post, and you've got to delete the old ones and things like that. And so with Libsyn, you don't have that limit. You can upload, you can store your entire back catalog. So I use Libsyn, and when I say Libsyn or Blueberry, this applies to both. So I have whatever now, 385 episodes of my podcast. The only thing they limit is how much you can upload per month. So I think I'm on the 400 megs per month, which is really overkill for what I do. And the if you get out your calculators, if you're doing talk, I usually recommend people do 64 kilobits per second mono. That's CD quality without stereo separation. And unless you're playing music, for the most part, it doesn't matter. And that's basically half a meg a minute. So if you do a 60-minute podcast, you're looking at roughly 30 megs per show. If you do a weekly show, take that 30 times it by 4, that's 120. That's how much space you need. So in reality, you could get by with like a 250 account, which I think is $15 at Libsyn, and I forget what it is at Blueberry. But the cool thing is you do have a back catalog, and you will hear an interview I did on the School of Podcasting in the Future with Dustin Hartzler, who now works for WordPress. He works for Automattic. He's a guy that does a podcast. It's called Your Website Engineer. He got a job at WordPress, and part of the reason was they needed somebody to explain technical things to just an end user without it being super geeky. And he said, oh, go over, listen to me in iTunes. This is what I do, and read my reviews where people say over and over and over, Dustin does a great job of taking technical things and explaining them in plain English. So his podcast was an actual kind of audio business card. And so that's where having that back catalog really comes into play. I think the best analogy, and it doesn't come from me, was Daniel J. Lewis of the Audacity to Podcast. And think of it like a conveyor belt. And you put a box on a conveyor belt, and it goes across the belt and then falls off. Well, if in Libsyn or Blueberry's case, if I upload a 100 meg podcast, yes, I don't have, you know, it's 100 megs less I have on my account. But in 30 days, and so in this case, your conveyor belt is 30 days long, that file will basically fall off. It's still in your back catalog, but you get that part of the belt to put more files on. So I don't know if that makes any sense, but it's hard to explain at times. But that's the key is, if you want to have a large back catalog, that's where Libsyn and Blueberry come into play. And that's also where Amazon S3 fails, because you end up with a big back catalog. And when somebody goes into iTunes and says, listen to all, and they download all 300 episodes, that's going to really jack up your bandwidth bill. So I know Amazon looks cheap, but when you start to get popular, it can get kind of crazy. So I don't know.
They do put that in place to kind of keep you from kind of barfing all your podcasts in at once, right? I mean, that's the,
yeah,
it's a throttled effect. So they give you this monthly kind of budget that says, hey, you know, drop this stuff in, and you've got some kind of limit on what you're going to do. And then, so if you're a regular weekly or monthly or whatever podcaster, it works great. It's just, it gets more difficult if you're trying to move, you know, you wouldn't move all your podcasts in using that account all at the same time, right? Because you've got kind of a bandwidth limit of what you can upload.
All right. Well, you ready? We're going to have a caller.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So if I click on talk, in theory, you're on the air. Caller.
Hey, Dave, this is Dustin.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thank you. My question is, my wife and I just finished recording three episodes of podcasts, and the problem that we are having is we record in the same room, and her mic, like when she speaks, my mic picks up her voice vaguely, and then my voice picks up on her mic vaguely. We use, I think the ATR is 2100s, and is there a way to get rid of that sound without having to do all kinds of editing afterwards?
A couple things I would recommend. It's good to hear that you're using a dynamic microphone. Try to sit across from each other. So if she's on the same side of the desk as you, have it so that her microphone and your microphone are pointing directly opposite directions. So that way, you know, the front of your microphone is basically pointing the direct opposite. So that way it will start to cut down on what they call, that's called bleeding when you're getting into somebody else's microphone. So there's that. The other thing I would recommend is listen to your podcast where your audience listens to it. Because I know a lot of times I really freak out. I hear things and I'm like, oh, there's my heater in the background. And people go, I have no idea what you're talking about. So we may be fretting over things that you don't need to fret about. If it is an actual problem, because I have the same problem. I mean, my little studio here is kind of tight. And so when I podcast with my wife, we have actual noise gates that each microphone goes through. So when she's not talking, it basically says, look, you have to have a certain volume level to make it onto this microphone. And that might be a little overkill, but you know, for me, it was driving me crazy. So I went ahead and bought one. But Jim, any insights into this?
Yeah, you know, I'd look at Dustin, I'd look at maybe one of those boxes, and I forget what they're called, recording boxes or studio boxes or whatever, but it's basically a box that will go around your microphone that's foam padded. What are those called, Dave?
Yeah, there's a ton of them. I see a lot of people make them out of milk cartons.
Yeah, you can make them cheap. Dustin, you know what I'm talking about? Does that make sense?
I mean, I have a pop filter.
It's like a portable isolation booth.
Yeah. So think about a big cardboard box that's open on one end, or maybe open on, you know, open on one end, and you're going to bring that over your microphone and you're going to speak into that box, right? And what that'll do is the sound that's coming from your mouth and reaching your wife's microphone will die inside that box before it gets there. So it basically is just absorbing all that sound. So it looks a little funny. Let me see if I can get a link here, Dave, while we do this. Because I've seen these, and you can make them for just maybe $10.
Yeah,
you're talking a cardboard box and some foam.
Yeah, you can go to what a lot of people do is if you go to Walmart, you can buy bedding that looks like egg cartons. Basically, it's like foam bedding. You're supposed to use it to, you know, I don't know, stuff your bed or whatever. But it's great because if you go to a Guitar Center and get actual acoustic foam, which in theory probably has some sort of characteristic that makes it work better. But if you're on a budget, it's an easy way to do that. And all you pick up some Elmer's glue while you're there at Walmart, and people will basically take a cardboard box and either A, just cut it up and paste it on there. And then you just basically, paper clip it or whatever you want to do into whatever shape. And then just put it between you and your wife. And it's basically like a little isolation booth. If you actually go into a studio, the singers usually go into a room that has just the microphone, and then every single wall is lined with this acoustic treatment. And then they're with a pair of headphones, and they're hearing the band who's out in, you know, a lot of times the drummer's in one room and somebody else is in another room just to isolate it. But that's basically what this is trying to reproduce.
Yeah, Dustin, I just threw a link out there in chat for you of a YouTube video that'll show you how to make one.
I agree.
Where are you calling from? I've always wanted to say that.
And then he drops off.
Did he drop off? Apparently he did. Okay.
Oh, bummer.
I could call him back if I wanted to. I see that in the thing here. We weren't done with you, man. Come on.
We had questions for you.
Well, there you go.
That isolation box idea is a pretty good idea if you have a really noisy, you know, or a really hard surfaced room that you're in where you, because it doesn't have to be two mics. That's a problem. Have you ever heard a podcaster and it sounds like they're echoing on their mic, you know, and it's a really, and sometimes in my office, I sound that way when I podcast. So you'll get it with a condenser mic in a hotel room. If you're trying to do that, Dustin just said, sorry, his phone cut out.
Well, so I'm going to call him back.
Call him back.
Oh,
back
you know what? I went to call him back and that option flew off my screen. Teased me, huh? You can always call back.
We have a sound studio at Gallup that we do all our voiceover work on, and they've got a couple of these, and they're half round right there. Mm-hmm. It's a really nice half round box that sits around a microphone, so the microphone goes in the back of it. The pop filter sits up front, so that mic is very isolated from any sounds that are happening around it.
And there is a certain level of you can't, like if your neighbor next door, you know, is cutting down a tree with a chainsaw. It's just, there's limits to that.
You're not going to get that.
Yeah, but because I know I bought one from Guitar Center, and it also matters again on what kind of microphone, because I tried it once with a condenser microphone, and while it did kind of cut back a little bit, condenser microphones still just pick up everything, and it helped, but it didn't really produce the results I wanted. So there he goes, and he's back. All right.
And we have a little bit better of a connection with Dustin.
Dustin's back on the show. Thanks for calling back.
Thank you. Sorry, something said that the service I was using couldn't keep me on the phone anymore.
Well, one of the questions I had for you is, where is your podcast? Is it up and live yet?
Where is
it? Yeah, can we go?
No, it's not live.
Oh, okay.
We're about to do it like in a couple days, so we're just trying to do the final edits.
Got it.
On it, and then submit it to iTunes and all that stuff. But I just wanted to get your opinion before we start recording even more, because it gets really annoying to hear all that feedback, or not feedback, but the, my wife's thing and her thing, and then I have to edit. It just takes a lot longer. So
what's
I didn't know if you.
What's the edit? Just is it a case where do you have like her in the left channel and you in the right, or are you both?
Well, it'd be like sometimes it bleeds over, like when I'm taught, like maybe she might interrupt me, and you know I'll hear my voice in her track, and vice versa. Or if she's just talking and I'm not saying anything, I can hear slightly her voice repeating the same thing what she's saying on her track.
Dustin, what's the mechanics of the way you guys have this set up? Are you using two separate PCs and joining each other via Skype and recording that, or are you going through a mixer? How are you doing that?
Yeah, good question. We're using a Mac computer on GarageBand, and we have two USB ATR 2100s plugged into the USB connector on my Mac.
No, and it recognizes both microphones and allows them to record both simultaneously in GarageBand then?
Yeah, I do the, I can't remember what it's called, I looked up a video, but whatever it was to be able to use two at the same time, but record on separate tracks.
That's a good setup. Yeah, no, that should work. But yeah, you're right. You're going to get a little bit of that from time to time. And there also might be some weird voice or noise canceling effect going on because you've got two different signals. And I don't know GarageBand inside and out, but you might have some, you know, you might have some strange effects with that because you're kind of tricking this. The system's really designed to take one audio input at a time, and you're tricking it a little bit to take the two in there. And that shouldn't be a problem. Mike, this would be a great question for Mike Phillips.
It would.
Yeah.
All we need.
And he's not out there today.
I'm going to say, I expect to hear some sort of whooshing sound, and he walks in with a cape, you know? this sounds like, here I am, Mr. Microphone.
Yeah. Well, try that. Try an isolating it, Dustin.
Ryan Parker has a great suggestion, and I've used this. He says, hang a curtain between the two of you. So if you go to like a moving store, they have these really thick blankets, for lack of a better phrase, and just, you know, hang it up somehow between you and your wife. And that might also, because I know... I've done this trick. It's not fun, but if you put a blanket over you and your microphone, so you're basically recording your voice in a tent. I was surprised at how much it cut out of the background. The bad news is you just sweat just buckets if it's in the middle of the summer. So, but I was surprised. I heard that and I was like, oh, that can't really do that much, but that might be an easy solution as well. Just, you know, in my case, I have a drop ceiling here in my office, and I have bungee cords actually hanging out of the drop ceiling. And when I get done here, I'm going to do some video stuff, and I just hang my backdrop on it. So it might be something where, you know, you get a blanket, throw some rivets in it or something where you could, you know, put a loop through it and just tie it to the ceiling, or, you know, hang it over something, or, you know, there's all sorts of fun ways you can get creative. But that's a great suggestion. Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah, thanks. That's a good one.
And if you get a chance, you know, Dave at schoolofpodcasting.com, send me I would love to hear just a sample. Because I know for me, when I first started podcasting, I was podcasting in the basement next to the water cooler. And I had a really...
You have a water cooler?
Not a water cooler, water water heater.
And, I knew what you meant.
And... I was always talking to my audience about, you know, I was trying to cut out the fan noise of my computer. And finally, Rich Palmer emailed me and said, Dave, I have no idea what you're talking about, and I really wish you'd move on because I don't hear it. And it's because a lot of times, you know, we're listening to it in a quiet room and we've got our headphones just, you know, plastered to our head. And when you listen to it in the car or on the treadmill, you're walking the dog or whatever, you have no idea what the person's talking about. So you may be actually fretting over something that, I mean, it's very... It's cool that you're worried about your audio quality. It may be a case that you're fretting over something that can do that. So, yes, Dustin, feel free. Anybody can call in. The number is 888-563-3228. We'll just, you know.
Yeah, Dave, you make a good point about quality and that we are our worst critics at times. And I have guys that listen to it on the mower, you know, in the summer, they're mowing their lawns while they're listening. Yeah. They can't hear Jack.
No. Right?
I mean, it doesn't matter as long as it's close and the audio is not really bad. You're going to be fine. And so it just gives you that. The other advice I was going to give Dustin, just in case we can't get him back, is to start with the cheapest options first.
Yeah.
So go from no cost to low cost to high cost, because you might solve that with nothing. Right. I mean, as an example, I was having some lighting problems down here and so the camera that I used for the live stream was starving for light. And so I could never get a really good HD signal. And I took two white panels that we'd used for advertising at a conference, right, that somebody else paid for. And I just took them home with me and I stuck them on the ceiling and instantly changed my lighting. Right. So I didn't go out by can lights. I didn't go out and buy LED lights. I didn't go out and drop a grand on lighting the basement. I spent zero and fixed it. So go start cheap, then, you know, work your way up in expense. So Dustin's back with us.
He is back. I believe.
I agree. This is Dustin. I agree about keeping it as expensive as possible on a budget. My other question was related to kind of news and noteworthy. When we submit our podcast in the next couple of days, you know, we're still learning the whole podcast concept and trying to get better at it. You know, would you suggest, hey, we just tell everybody once our show is live about it, or just give it a little bit of time? What would be your suggestion on, you know, trying to utilize news and noteworthy, but, you know, as your show gets better, what suggestions and tips would you suggest as far as promoting it? Is there an overkill? Or as we're growing, just take it easy.
I would, from what I understand, if you listen to, and we're going to be, I should probably plug this tomorrow, Podcasters Roundtable, we're not interviewing, but we're talking about the John Lee Dumas effect, who's the Entrepreneur on Fire guy. And he, along with many other people, say, come out of the gate swinging with your best material, which is kind of hard because if you're new to podcasting, you're like, I'm still trying to learn this thing, right? But,
right.
Yeah. And for example, we should do this right now. It would be great if everybody in the chat room right now would go into iTunes and subscribe to Ask the Podcast Coach. Cause thank you for everyone who's been bugging us for the longest time. We are now in iTunes. So that's very cool. We'll probably talk about some of the technology I use to make that super duper easy in the future. But yeah, if you can, and this is where if somebody says, I know how to get listed in New and Noteworthy, they're lying because nobody really knows. It's all guesswork. But from what I understand, the more people that subscribe in within like a 24-hour period or in a short amount of time, and that's why a lot of people say list it after you've done 3 episodes, because apparently they assume that the more downloads you get, that might help get you New and Noteworthy. And then last, if you can have everybody leave a comment, that again is assumed to help you get listed in New and Noteworthy. But it doesn't hurt. I know. Even if you're, you know, if you're not really confident in your material, and this is something that really needs to be said, there is, unless you're doing something on a TV show and you want to coincide with a TV show, it's great when people say, I'm launching this on March 21st, but if you're not ready on March 21st and it's taking you 6 months to do it, another month isn't going to, you know, it's not like your audience is like, oh, I was going to listen because you don't have an audience yet. So if you're not super confident in your material, you know, I know a few people that have thrown away their first couple of episodes because they listen to them and they're like, oh, that's garbage. And I'm like,
they're always the worst.
Yeah.
The first three are horrible.
Yeah.
You'll go back after 20 and you'll listen to them. And you're like, God, that's horrible. So I actually subscribe to that too. Get a couple that you do. And if they're good, if you think they're good in the time, do it. you don't like them, hold them and then do a few more, right? The problem is it's like giving birth to a child, that very first podcast. You just, you know, yeah. when you're in the moment, you just don't want to let it go. And it's hard to do, but I think the worst one's always your first one. Hey, that kind of rhymes. So it's from that standpoint, Dave, I'd agree with you. I'd get a couple. I'd get three or four. Promote those through Facebook or Twitter, just locally. Have your friends listen to them. Have them give you some feedback. Have them, you know, just have them go through your RSS feed, or if you're using WordPress or Libsyn, just send them there directly. You don't have to get them to subscribe in iTunes, and build up a little bit of a following first. Then when you've got five or six ready to go, just blast them onto iTunes, and then blast your audience and say, hey, we're on iTunes now, because you'll get that pulse effect, which will get you in the new and noteworthy, I think, a little bit easier. So that would be my recommendation.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, this podcast has been going really since April, and we're just now in iTunes. And even that, I was like, I'm trying to go back and find actual episodes that I'm like, okay, this one wasn't a complete train wreck. I think we have three episodes in there right now, and I need to go back and listen to some of the other ones. And because most of the time we are like battling issues or whatever, and it's like, yeah. So, you know,
we didn't intend to do this, Dave. It was just we were goofing around.
So, but yeah, we are also in Stitcher, and we're in iTunes, and eventually we'll be in Microsoft, and we'll be in, you know, all the usual suspects.
Yeah. So Dustin, does that help?
He fell off the line again. Oh, wait a minute. Let me click on talk. He'll be right back. And please let us know. Please let us know. Who's your, you're here. Who's your carrier?
It's T-Mobile.
All right.
It says this one. It gives me a message that says the service you're listening to doesn't allow this anymore. So I don't know what's going on.
I wonder if it's on the call-in side, Dave.
Yeah, it could be.
Go ahead, Dustin.
I have an email subscription of probably about 500 people.
Beautiful.
And I wanted to know, hey, once we're ready, do we just go ahead and send out, hey, the podcast is ready with show notes? Yeah, I feel confident in our shows, but I didn't know if there's like a kind of a waiting period, just let a few people know, get some feedback, or just go ahead and blast it out to...
Yeah, kind of like what Jim was saying, if you've got a couple shows ready, because again, this show has been going since April, we just got listed in iTunes, so you could actually have your website up and running and say, hey, you know, especially if it's your target audience, if you know somebody, you're like, I think you're going to like this. That's the person you really want their feedback from, not mom, because mom's going to say it's awesome and you're the best ever. So get some constructive feedback. And then, you know, in some cases you may hear it's great, it's perfect, I'd let it go. But you might have some people like, no, I don't know, it was a little long for me. And that's really where it's going to be up to you in the end. You get to pick how long, short, whatever you cover, things like that. But get some honest feedback. And then, you know, make sure that you have good album artwork. That definitely can help in iTunes, because it's just going to make you a little more professional. And especially before you list it in iTunes, go to feedvalidator.org, because the last thing you want to do is submit a feed to iTunes that's not valid, because they'll just choke all over it. And it's not impossible to get it listed, but if it's invalid, to have iTunes say, no, seriously, come back, it's safe now, you know, look at this, is a bit of a nightmare at times. Might be a little easier now that we actually have a contact at Apple that is reading emails. But you can kind of, you know, kick the tires a little bit with some family and friends and get some feedback. And if they say, yeah, it's a go, then absolutely. And once you go, that's when you start pimping it in the actual podcast. We're live. If you can, do this as soon as possible. Send it out to the email address and give them a direct link. You know, that link that comes from iTunes, give it right to them. So you want to make it as easy as it is to subscribe to the podcast and just let it go. And with a email list of 500, you know, if you get 50 people to subscribe in a day, that's, you know, you can probably get into new and noteworthy. It doesn't seem to be like it's a major.
I don't think it's that hard anymore.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. The reason we're getting ready to try to launch it soon is because my wife and I were doing a benefit concert for the Philippines to raise money for the Philippines. And so we did an episode on that, and we wanted to get it out and launched before our benefit concert, and just let people know that they can give to the cause
Got it.
Through, the end of December. So that's why I was wondering, you know, because of that, we wanted to push it forward.
Right.
I just want to get your guys' wisdom. Like, hey, if it would be wise to go ahead and send it out, or, I mean, go ahead and blast out to my followers or wherever they are. And
yeah, I don't think you're hurting anything by doing that. You know, if you've got a special reason to do it, I mean, these are just kind of guidelines, right? To get that stuff out. So if you've got a time, if you're up against a timeline or you're up against a special event and you want to get that thing out, man, just get it out. Don't worry about the new and noteworthy. Don't worry about any of that stuff. You've got a special purpose behind it.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different than maybe the rest of the podcasters. And just get that thing out there.
Yeah.
You know, just dump it and roll.
I've had plenty of shows that I've put out, you know, back in the day that I have no idea if they were new and noteworthy because I never really paid attention.
Yeah.
And they're doing fine. And it's like, you know, it definitely can help. I know Dr. Nina does Win the Diet War, and she went from having hundreds to thousands of people download. But it's not a, you know, I've seen other people that went from, you know, 300 downloads to, you know, 360. So it's not always this like giant just whoosh of, you know, listeners. It really does, I think, in some cases depend on what your topic is. In her case, she was doing weight loss. Well, that's a huge topic and everybody jumped all over it, and the fact that she's on the cover and is not exactly the ugliest person I've ever seen on the planet probably had something to do with that as well. So
doesn't ever hurt.
Yeah, so like Jim said, in some cases if you've got a special situation and you really need it out on this time, then, you know, the good news is you've got a couple episodes done. And I think Ryan said that in the chat room. Ryan Parker says it was a huge help in his case. So, yeah, if you're going to launch it now and you want to get into new and noteworthy, then throw it out there and tell everybody you know, and do the best you can to make the best first impression you can and go from there. So, all right. So, Dustin has his son just woke up, so he's got to go. But thanks a ton for calling in. And speaking of that, I should probably hit the old music because we are up against it. Here we are.
One quick update before we go.
Yes.
I was that Mixler on a mobile did not work very well.
Oh, that's not fun.
So I'll have to mess around with that. But no, not immediate success right off the bat. So sure. Thanks for the question.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have to look into how do we get people from across the pond onto the show. Maybe we can,
some kind of voice over IP or something. They should be able to dial out using something that would dial U.S. numbers for not a lot.
Not a lot. But well, Jim, thanks for showing up again. I deeply appreciate it, man.
You bet. And, always good to be with you.
Thanks to Dustin. Thanks to everybody in the chat room. And it was kind of funny because he's like, should I call in? And it's like, yeah.
It's okay to call in.
Yeah, call in. It's so we'll have to.
That's why we're here.
Yeah, we'll have to promote that next week a little more. Seriously, go ahead. You can call in. So, and that's one of the reasons why I have the toll-free number, just in case. Because I believe if you have a Skype out and you're in the U.K., you can dial an 800 number and it's still free. So, but we're here every Saturday morning, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can find us at schoolofpodcasting.com/live. You can find Jim over at theaverageguy.tv. You can find me at schoolofpodcasting.com. And in between now and then, if you want to call in, the number is 888-563-3228. You can just leave us a voicemail. But we would love to hear you live. But if you can't make it here, if you're listening to this later from iTunes, feel free to call those in. We'll play them on the show and answer them then. So until next week, Jim, we'll see you later, buddy. Thanks again.
Have a great week, Dave. You bet.
Take care, everybody.